I ask you to pray for me this morning. I'm trying to preach on some things that I find a little difficult, really, to get together the way I wanted to, but I believe this is what the Lord wants for today, and so that's what we're going to preach. If you'll turn back to Psalm 86, that's where we were on Wednesday night, Psalm and number 86. And last Wednesday night, we preached through verse number 7. And so this morning, we're going to pick up with verse number 8. Psalm 86, and we'll pick up in verse number 8. The Bible said in verse 8, "Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great, and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me." What about that? "Great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell." Now may the Lord add his blessing to that. Let's bow together and pray, and Brother Hall do his best to bring the thought that is on my heart this morning. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the Sunday school hour, the song service, the fellowship. Certainly thankful for our visitors today, the good crowd we have in the house of God. And I'm sure, Lord, that many are here today because they're hungry to hear from heaven. Their desire is to hear not from man, but to hear from God Himself. And Lord, this is your eternal word, and I know you have the power to speak through it. I pray that you'll do that for your glory and for our good and the blessing and benefit of the people of God. We ask you, Lord, to anoint the preacher this morning with your power. I pray you'll fill me with the Holy Ghost and give me great liberty here, work in and through and amongst the people this morning. May sinners be convicted of sin, brought to Christ. May your people, Lord, have their needs met. May they find a place of rejoicing in their heart for Christ. May they worship you in spirit and in truth as we come together today. Have your divine will and way in every heart. Bless those that are sick, those that are afflicted, those that are low and lowly. And Father, we'll thank you for all that is accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. I want to read again this morning. Verse number 11 is where I'm going to be drawing our thoughts from this morning and preaching through these verses. The psalmist David here, the Bible, the text says it's a prayer of David. And certainly the psalm is a prayer. And in verse 11, he asked the Lord this question, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth." And then he makes this statement, "Unite my heart to fear thy name." Amen. Unite my heart, bring my heart together, that I might fear thy name. Bring all the pieces of my heart together into one that I may learn to fear thy name. You know, there's not much fear of the Lord in the world that we're living in. There's very little fear in the hearts of sinners. If there was, many of them would be making their way to the house of God that they might hear the gospel and be saved. And years ago, the saying was, I've seen it on a lot of trucks. I don't see much of it anymore, but they'd have on their pickups, "No fear." Well, I'm going to tell you, there's one person you better fear, and that's God Almighty. You don't have to fear man that has only the ability to destroy your body. But Jesus said you better fear him that has the power to destroy your body and then cast your soul into hell. And there's not much fear of the Lord today. But David said here, "Lord, unite my heart to fear thy name." Now, I want to take that verse and some other verses here I'll be preaching from this morning and kind of preach around this thought, if God will let me, piecing the heart together, putting the heart all together again the way that the Lord wants it to be. As you and I live in this life below, as we live here below, we often feel that our heart within is a divided heart. We feel a heart within that is a divided heart. We feel that heart to have two natures. Let me just read what it said. As we live for God, often we feel our heart within us divided, or we feel a heart within a heart. And I believe you'd have to say amen right there. We feel a heart that is subject and desirous to live for the Lord, but there's also a tug from the inside in the spiritual man to pull away from God and to live according to man's own dictates. And by the way, that is idolatry. I found out today, or I learned this morning, that man serving man's will is idolatry. And so often we find ourselves pulled away from the heart of God and wanting to live according to our own will, our own dictates of our own heart. And that is a divided heart. That is a double heart. The Bible said in the book of James that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We feel sometimes two natures contending for two principles, struggling for sovereignty. And how true that is. There is a sin principle within man, and there is a divine principle within man also. And those principles are struggling within us, and they're struggling for divine sovereignty. You may not realize this, but sin and Satan wants to rule your life. Sin and Satan not only want to rule your life, they want to ruin your life. And I'll tell you, a life given over to sin and a life given over to Satan will eventually be destroyed. Man that sins is often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. Now, our minds are apt to be divided between a variety of objects. You know that as well as I do. As we live in this life, our heart many times can be divided amongst many things. And I don't have time to go into detail on all of them, but you know that as well as I do. Part of our heart's on our job. Part is on this, and part is on having fun. Part is on this, and part is on that. And very few of us have that united heart. But often that heart is divided between a variety of objects. But our greatest desire should be to have all of our life floods poured into the one channel, and to have all of our life poured into one channel, and that channel directed toward the Lord alone. Oh boy, may I say that there's one Lord, and our heart and our life should be directed toward that one Lord. What I'm trying to say is that we ought to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, body, and soul, and our life ought to be directed toward Him. It's not fun and games, but the life that we're living is a serious life. May I say, there used to be an old commercial on TV, and don't fall out at me about this, but it said you only go around one time in life, so you better grab all the gusto that you possibly can. Now, I'm telling you, man only has one life to live, and that life better be lived for God. When we come back to this earth, the life as we know it now is going to be over. And what the psalmist is saying here, unite my heart to fear thy name. David is saying, bring all the pieces of my heart together, Lord, that I may learn to fear you and to love you and to live for you and have no other. I want to say this morning, God, man cannot serve God and mammon. A lot of folks want to serve God, and then on the other hand, they want to serve mammon. But God cannot serve God and mammon. It's either the Lord and all, or it's not the Lord at all, ladies and gentlemen. So come on now, loosen up a little bit. A man with a divided heart is weak. A man that is double-minded is weak. But I say this, but a man of one object is strong.
And if our hearts are set upon the Lord, we can be strong. But if our heart is divided, we're very weak and we're subject to sin against God. God, who created our bands of nature, can draw them together. God can tighten them down. God can strengthen them. God can fasten them. And so, braced and inwardly knit by His uniting grace, you and I can be powerful in our life in serving the Lord. If we'll simply allow the Lord to knit everything in our life together in one and serve the Lord, we can be powerful in our service for God. We can overcome. I'm going to tell you why people can't overcome sin and overcome the world in the life is because they've got too much sin and world in their life. Amen. And their heart is not united. It's a divided thing. Brother Nolan used to say, if a man straddles the fence long enough, he'll get splinters in his britches. And Buddy and I say amen to that. We better make up our minds in 2009 whom we're going to serve. Joshua said, if for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You're going to make up your mind if you're going to serve the gods on the other side of the flood or you're going to serve the gods of the land. But he said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And God does not want our heart to be divided in many different directions. But He wants that heart united. And He is the only one that has the grace and the power to bring that heart together that we might set our affection on things above, set our love and our affections on Christ, and not upon the affection and things of this world. Now, I want you to notice this. I'm just saying this passing by. But twice in this psalm so far, David refers to the Lord as my God. He refers to Him as my God. Now, and that's in verse number 2 and verse number 12. And the first time he used that word, my God, he was in agony of prayer. But you remember when I started Wednesday night, I said that a prayer is also a prayer of praise. You cannot pray without praising God. And so David's psalm began in prayer, and what we're going to see in here today, it turns into an ecstasy of praise. His prayer is in agony of soul in his prayer, but God takes that prayer and turns it into praise. Hallelujah to God. Now I'm satisfied as God's people, if we'd ever learned to pray the way that we ought to pray, that prayer would oftentimes turn into praise unto our God. David is in agony. He's in trouble. He is in prayer. But oh, when God brought that heart together, David said, hallelujah, God has united my heart together, and now I'm going to praise Him in my soul for what God has done in my life. Amen. That's right. Now, the pieces of our heart have been put back together. And thus, David is focused on God and on God alone. Now, I want to mention just five things this morning that happens when our heart, when the pieces of our heart are united together and we're taught to fear the Lord. Notice in verse number 8 with me, if you would, please. The Bible said there, among the gods, there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. David said, when I get my heart united together, I'm going to glorify God for His works. I'm going to praise God for His works. That is God's exploits. What God has done. What God has accomplished. I'm afraid so many times we try to drag God down on our level, and we forget, our heart is so messed up that we forget what God, the works that God has done in this world that we're living in. I won't name three of them very briefly, and I'll say a couple of things about this. I won't say, first of all, His work in creation. God's work in creation. Brother, I'm going to tell you, I believe God created all things that we see today. You know what I read in the news just yesterday? And I was amazed to read this. They said that Swedish scientists, some group of scientists from Sweden, have now finally learned where man came from. And I thought to myself, they started talking about the molecules and all this and that, and how man finally evolved and come together. And I thought, how ignorant can anybody be? I mean, hey, I learned where man came from a long time ago. Amen. The Bible said in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I'm here to tell you, it doesn't take a brilliant man to know where man came from. Amen. Your grandparents may have swung from the tail from a tree, but mine never. Amen. Mine came out of the loins of Adam. Somebody say amen right there. And God created the heavens, and God created the earth, and all things that are in the earth and beneath the earth, God Almighty created. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. That's right. I would tell you something, but it'll throw some of you a curveball. God even created the wicked for the day of judgment. That's what the Bible says. God even created hell for the devil and the angels. That's what the Bible says. Oh, yes. I want to say, first of all, that God created the heavens. I want to read some verses in Psalm 148. The Bible said in Psalm 148, David, the psalmist said, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. How in the world is the sun and moon going to praise God? Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. Get this, for what reason? Or why? For He commanded, and they were created. Now, I'm going to tell you, if God commanded the heavens and they were created, and because He commanded and they were created, He commands them to praise Him. Oh, come on in the house, boys and girls. You believe that God created man? Then we've got to believe that God wants man to praise Him also. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. And we're 1,000 years behind on praising God for what God has done for you and I. I won't say number two, and I'm hurrying along. God not only created the heavens, but God created man.
Amen.
And I'll get to the message in a minute. You just stick with me. God created man.
Amen.
The Bible said in Psalm 139, verses 14 through 16, I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now the psalmist said, I'm going to praise You, Lord, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The psalmist realized, and I believe it was David, realized how wonderful the human body is. And how God put it together and made it work all together, all the organs work together that man might have life upon this earth. Hallelujah to His wonderful name. But get hold of this. We're fearfully and we're wonderfully made. And He said, marvelous. Now here's the thought. Are Thy works, and that Thy soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there were none of them. Boy, if you can read that and get a hold of that. The psalmist said that I was wrought in the secret parts of the earth. and said, God saw me before I ever was. Oh, I'm telling you, that ought to be enough to praise God right there. If we get hold of the fact that God saw you before you ever were. God knew who you would be and how you would be and what you would be before you ever were. And may I say that every one of us are unique in our own creation. Isn't that marvelous? Have you ever seen two Gary Halls? Somebody said, thank God. Amen. Leroy might have. Has anybody ever seen two of you? Only if they're drunk. But I'm telling you, we're all fearfully and wonderfully made. And we're unique in that being made. And the thing of it is, God saw you before you ever was. And I'm going to tell you what I picked up on that thrilled my soul. He said, which was in continuance, were fashioned, when yet there was none of them. God said, I began to fashion your parts and put you together before they ever were. I can see right now, this ain't going over too well. Somebody said, how can He do that? He's God. God said, before you ever were, I saw your parts before they ever were and began to fashion them. Boy, if I can get down, and don't think I'm trying to be vulgar, but what God is saying is, I saw you in your daddy's loins and I saw you in your mother's womb. Before you were ever there, I saw you. I saw your parts as they developed and were put together before you ever was. And the psalmist said, because of this, I'm going to praise God for what He's done in my life. Somebody ought to say amen right there. We are fearfully and wonderfully made to God. Amen. Now, I'll tell you, man would unite his heart on the Lord and think upon the Lord instead of thinking upon everything else, hunting and fishing, pocket knives, shotguns, rifles, bass boats, fishing rods. Come on in the house. Girls and boys. Amen. Making money. And just stop one day and sit down in your chair at home and stop and think upon the fact that God made you as you are. Amen. I want to ask you something. Why does people want to change themselves? If God made them what they are, there's a fellow out in Hollywood. They call him, what's his name? You know the fellow that's black and looks white? Jackson? He don't want to be what God made him. So he's trying to be something else. These girls that are white and get out and lay under these tanning booths all the time, they're trying to be something that God didn't make them. I've never in my life seen a generation, come on now, when white folk want to be black and black folk want to be white. And when people want to change what they are, then I say this in honesty today. There's a whole lot of people, and I don't blame you if you're overweight, for wanting to lose weight, it's good for your health, I would say. But you need to understand one thing. If you've got them pounds on you, somebody said they're there because you're a glutton. Not always.
Amen.
If I gained weight according to what I eat, I'd weigh 750 pounds.
Amen.
I couldn't get out of the bed in the morning. But I'm going to tell you, you are what you are in your body, in your shape, in your form and fashion, because God made you that way. And if God made us that way, hallelujah, we ought to rejoice over it, thank God. Because He made us in such a way that would glorify and magnify His wonderful works among the children of men. Yes, sir. David said, among the gods, there's none like unto Thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto Thy works. So he said, when my heart is united to fear God, I'm going to glorify Him for His works. Then I want to say not only His work of creation of the heavens and His work of creation of man, but what about His work of creation within man?
Amen.
Now there's something we can glorify God about. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Come on now. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, honey, if you can't praise God for that, that is a work of creation that God did inside of man. Woo! Hallelujah! I'm telling you, you're looking at the outside of old Gary Hall, but I'm telling you, on the inside, there is a new man. Hallelujah! Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but this old Gary Hall is vanishing away day by day. But that new Gary Hall is being renewed also day by day. And there's a creation within a creation. God created your body, but God also created your spiritual man. And son, I'm going to tell you, if we can't rejoice and praise God for the new creation that He's made within us, son, there's a problem in our heart somewhere. Buddy, when I learned that I was a new creature, I was a new man, my sins were gone. God had forgiven me of all of my sin. No more honky-tonk. No more carousing. No more card games. Amen. No more sin. Old things are gone. New things. God's made all things new. No more feuding and fighting and fussing with my wife. No more liquor drinking. Come on in the house. No more down to with the boys down to billiard hall shooting pools. I'm talking about a new creature. And God's renewing that day by day. Son, if we can get a hold of that, that in His work, David said, I'm going to magnify Him for His works. And one of those works is the fact that He is creating a new man within me. A new person. Hallelujah. Like we sang that song a little while ago, one of these days, this robe of flesh, I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize. And this old body we'll lay down. Amen. We'll lay her down. And we'll be caught up to be with God. Amen. Forever to be with the Lord. That new creation. And we ought to be able to thank Him and to praise Him for what He's done in the works that He's done in the children of men. Now I want you to stay right with me. I'm going to lose some of you here. I think I already lost you. Look at verse 9. He said, all nations whom Thou hast made shall come and worship before the Lord and shall glorify His name. Can I ask you something this morning? When was the last time you really worshiped God? I put this note down. When my heart is one, I will give Thee all of it. And I wrote, our worship and praise should never be rendered with less than all of our heart and soul and strength, or it will be both unreal and unacceptable to God. When we come together in the house of God, we get our hands up in the air and get to praising Him or get to worshiping God. Are we really doing it in reality? Is it real? Is it acceptable with God? Or is our heart yet divided? Oh, I'm telling you, worshiping God ought to be done with one heart. And you can't worship God any other way. That's right. That is exactly right. You cannot worship God any other way than that one heart. He said, nations shall come and worship Him. Amen. He said, nations shall come and glorify Him. Amen. How much more should the children of men worship the Lord? Now, I've got one illustration here. Abraham and Isaac. God told Abraham, said, I want you to go to a place that I'll show you. I want you to offer Isaac up as a burnt sacrifice. Amen. You know that had to tear that man's heart apart. Abraham had prayed for Isaac. God gave him to him. And now God said, what you prayed for and what I promised you, I want you to give back to me.
Amen.
You ever prayed for anything a long time, God give it to you? What if God told you to give it back?
Amen.
Would you be as willing as what Abraham was? But Abraham loaded that wood on that donkey and took two servants and took Isaac and headed out to a place that he didn't know where he was going. But a three-day journey, he come to Mount Moriah. Here's what he told his servants. He said, you tarry here with the asses. And said, the lad and I will go yonder and worship and come again.
Amen.
And we're about to get somewhere now. I want to ask you something this morning. Have you got a yonder?
Yes.
The lad and I will go yonder and worship and come again. You know as well as I do, is that that donkey that was carrying that wood is a type of the sinner. That wood is a type of sin. Amen. Isaac is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ that is to be sacrificed.
Amen.
When they got to there, Isaac said, Father, and he said, here am I, my son. He said, I see the wood. And he said, I see the fire. But where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, my son, God will prepare himself or provide for himself a sacrifice.
Amen.
And up that mountain they went. When they got to the foot of that mountain, Abraham loaded that wood on Isaac.
Amen.
In other words, he put the donkey's sin, the sinner's sin, on the son. And up the mountaintop they went.
Amen.
He took that wood, started a fire, and laid Isaac out on that fire. I'm going to get some here in a minute. And about that time, he lifted that knife up, and God heard a voice say, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I, Lord. And he said, do the child no harm. For now that I know that thou wilt serve, that thou lovest me. Do the child no harm. And he looked, and there was a ram caught in the bushes. Now stay with me. That ram suddenly becomes a substitute. He takes Isaac's place. So that Isaac, that ram becomes a type of the substitute, Christ on the cross. Come on now. But Isaac that was on the cross becomes a type of the sinner that got off of the cross, you'll get it in a minute, that got off of the cross and came back down the mountain with his father.
Amen.
Amen. And the wood, the sin, guess what? It was burnt up on the mountaintop.
Amen.
Friends, I'm telling you, our sin is gone.
Amen.
But I said that to say this. Our place of worship should be a place of sacrifice. Our place of worship should be a place of substitution. Christ was our sacrifice. Christ was not a substitutionary death for us. It ought to be a place of sin's destruction. The wood was burned. It ought to be a place of Satan's defeat. Hallelujah. And it is a place of the saints' delight. Somebody said, now what are you talking about? If you ain't figured it out, but now you are dumber than a box of rocks. Have you got a yonder? I'm talking about a cross.
Amen.
Have you really been to Calvary this morning? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Have you been to Calvary and had your sins forgiven?
Yes.
If you have, I'm telling you, it's a wonderful place to go back to and worship God.
Yes.
I'm glad that I've got a yonder, that I can go and worship my Lord. In spirit and in truth, ladies and gentlemen. Back to the cross. Many of you in here this morning need to get back to Calvary. Harold Sotler was preaching years ago. He said he preached for a young preacher, and that preacher told him, said, Doc Sotler said, I'm going to preach 52 weeks on the home. Doc Sotler said, he looked at that young man and said, I don't believe I'd want to leave Calvary that long. Folks, I'm going to tell you, we stop and think about the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light. It was there, hey, listen to me. It was there that the ram took our place. It was there that Christ became our substitute. People need to learn that He not only died for you, He died as you on the cross. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying when Christ was crucified, He died not only for you and me, but as you and me, we died also that day on Calvary. Therefore, we're crucified with Christ. I'm glad I've got a place I can go back to and worship. Hallelujah to God. Place I can fall prostrate at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank Him for what He's done in my life. We could all be in hell today. Come on now, we could all be frying in hell today. But Christ took our place. David said, if you'll only unite my heart, put all the pieces back together again. Hearts that have been broken. Hearts that have been shattered. Dreams that have been shattered. Lives that have been torn apart. David said, if you'll just put all the little pieces of the puzzle back together again and take my heart that is broken and shattered and torn asunder and put it back together again, then will I worship God and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Folks, we don't know this morning. We have no earthly idea how many people in our community are torn apart in their heart. How many young people are torn apart in their heart? Caught up on drugs. Caught up on booze. Caught up on whoring around. Come on now. And their hearts torn to pieces. Sin has entered into their life. And their sin is destroying their life and destroying their heart. But David said, Lord, if you'll just unite my heart to fear God, if you'll just take all the broken pieces of the puzzle and put them all back together again. He said, then nations will worship you. And He said, nations will glorify you. And He said, I'll worship you too. Can you get a hold of that this morning? You realize when God saved you at Calvary that your heart was like a crossword puzzle scattered abroad. But God began to work and began to put them pieces of that old heart all back together again. You didn't know much about God, but I'm going to tell you, when He fit that last little piece of that crossword puzzle together, you come up off that mourner's bench a shouting and a praising God for what He's done in your life. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. We've all got a yonder that we can go to and worship God. The cross where our Lord Jesus Christ was nailed. Oh, I think of that song up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn. Walked Christ my Savior weary and worn. And it was there that for sinners He was bleeding. It was there for sinners that He was giving His life. It was there for sinners that He died on the cross. It was there for you and I that He might put our heart back together again. Put a heart that had been destroyed by sin and shame and disgrace. Hey, a heart that was in disgrace had been put back together by grace. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Oh, Oliver Green wrote that book, From Disgrace to Grace. I can say amen to that. I don't know about you, but I was a disgrace to society. I wasn't fit to be shot. Amen. Hallelujah. Ought to have been took out and shot. But one day, come on now. One day I met Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Now they saw all of them said that. That's old Truman Hall's boy.
Yeah.
Like his father, like his son. His daddy was a drunk. He'll be a drunk. That's all he'll ever be. Well, I'll have to admit they had that partially right. I was for a while. But one day I made that same trip up Moriah that Abraham and Isaac made. And it was there that I realized that God had provided Himself a lamb. That God had died in my place. I should have been crucified. But thank God He died in my place and in your place. In agony. In suffering. In shame and in reproach, He died in our place. And I'm going to tell you, because He died in our place, and He's creating a new man within us, just like He commanded the heavens to praise Him, He has commanded you and I to do the same. Amen. We come to church like we have today and sit silent. When God has done wondrous things for us, fearfully and wonderfully created us, then He supernaturally and spiritually created us again and give us a place that we might worship Him. When we come to church like sitting bulls, we come to church like setting bulls. Have you sat down and realized what God's done for you? David said, when I realized that He had created me, when I realized that He had created someone, a new creation within me, then it was then that I asked Him to unite my heart with fear, that I might learn to worship God as I ought to worship Him, and that I might learn of His wonderful works, and I might learn to worship Him. And then He said that I might learn of all His wondrous things. Woo! God has done some wondrous things, ladies and gentlemen, in this life. I believe that is in verse number 10, if my memory serves. No, that's in verse number 10. He said, for Thou art great and doest wondrous things. I'm making all these W's. Have you caught them? All these wondrous things. And Thou art God alone. Yeah. Listen to what I wrote. Hey, it is a great thing when greatness and goodness are united. Yeah. May I say that God's good.
Yeah.
God is great also. Now, I'm telling you, adults today make fun of that little prayer. But I remember as a little boy, just a little boy, never failed. God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for His food. Thy is how we all are led. Give us, Lord, our daily bread.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, mankind has forgotten that God is great and God is good. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before awake, I pray the Lord my soul to take.
Yeah.
And we've forgotten that God is great and that God is good. And in God is united divine goodness and divine greatness. And those are wondrous things. Those have caused Him to do wondrous things within each of our lives. Come on now. Help me out. It's a grand thing when greatness and goodness are united. It is only in the divine being that either of them exist absolutely and essentially together. To be great and not good might lead to tyranny in a king. And for Him to be good and not great might involve countless calamities upon His subjects from foreign foes, so that either alternative would be terrible. I'm going to say something in just a minute. But I'm glad that God is both good and God is both great. He is not a tyrant. God is not a taskmaster. Come on now, come on. When God brought us out of sin's bondage, like bringing us out of Egypt, He delivered us from the taskmaster of sin and Satan. Read chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians. Where Satan led us about. And we walked according to the course of this world and according to the prince of the power of the air. But I'm going to tell you, we found out that God was great when He delivered us. And after God delivered us, we found out just how good God really was. Woo! Hallelujah. When I was lost, I took God as my enemy because He was. Sinners are at enmity with God. But I'm so glad that I've got a yonder that reconciled me unto God. I'm no longer God's enemy. But God has made me a friend of His. Oh, hallelujah to His wonderful name. Now I've realized just how good, just how good, just how good God really is to me. Hasn't God been good to you? I want somebody in here who God's not been good to stand up right now and tell me that God's not been good to you. Buddy, God's provided for us. God's protected us. Amen. God's proved us and tested us and found out that we're the real thing. Amen. They may think the world think Colt's the real thing, but I'm going to tell you what the real thing is. We have found out that God's the real thing. How would y'all like to get wet? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Boy, I'm going to tell you, God's good, son.
Yeah.
We could all been cut off. When I think about the times in Vietnam that I come that close, literally. I won't say it again, literally.
Amen.
3 inches or less from being in hell.
Amen.
From the bullet of a sniper. I marvel at the goodness of God.
Yeah.
I could have died in a foreign land. Amen, and come home in a pine box. But I'm going to tell you, God was so good that He curved that bullet around me. Woo! Hallelujah to God. I didn't come home in a pine box. I come home in a jet airplane. Hallelujah to God. Flew into Oakland, California, and they said, they stripped us off naked, run us through the bath, brought us out naked, measured us up for you. I'm serious. Measured us up for a uniform, put underwear on a t-shirt, and already had that uniform made, buddy, by the time we got through that chair and them drawers on, and dropped that uniform on us. And that captain said, gentlemen, sit there. There's a mess hall right down that sidewalk. Got all the milk and all the steak you can eat. I said, sir, I appreciate the steak and milk. But I said, praise God, I've got meat to eat. You know, not of. I'm headed for Indiana. Thanks be unto God. I'm going to tell you, amen, I hit that airplane. When I landed in Louisville, Kentucky, I got out and kissed the ground. And I didn't know what to do. I looked around. I saw a taxi. I said, taxi! I said, do you go to Indiana? He said, sure, man. How far are you going? I said, Underwood. He said, how far is that? He said, 25. I said, about 25 miles. He said, that'll cost you $20. I said, son, that chicken feed, get this taxi cab on the road. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I pulled in there at Underwood Supermarket, and I'm telling you, buddy, I began to shout and thank, I'm thanking God I'm home. But it wasn't until 1970 that I realized just how good God was to me to bring me home from that place in one piece and then bring me to a yonder. Take me to a yonder where I could worship Him and thank Him and praise Him for being good to old Brother Hall. Then I realized just how wondrous works God had done that I might worship Him at my yonder, which is right here at Island Ford Baptist Church. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad somebody's finally saying amen. Hallelujah. Now, He's not a tyrant. He's good. He's good. Amen. And let the two of them be blended together, goodness and greatness. And we have a monarch in whom the nation may both rest and rejoice. God is great. God is good. Let us rest and let us rejoice.
Amen.
Let me ask some of you this morning. What are you worried about? What David in the early verses of this was troubled. What's troubling you today? God, hey, David realized that God could bring him out of the trouble and rejoice his heart and help him to find rest in Christ. He can do the same for you this morning. I don't care what's bothering you. I don't care what's troubling you. I don't care what kind of a mess your life is in. God is great. God is good. He's not a tyrant. He can bring you to a place of rest and rejoicing in Him. Now, some of you have kind of learned to rest, but there ain't much rejoicing going on. Amen. That's right. You know what joy? You know what rejoice is? Rejoice is you got joy in you. Rejoice is getting it out of you. Re is something that's done over. So if you got joy in you, rejoice is to get joy out of you. Somebody said, well, I can't do that. Yeah, you can. I'm talking about doing it the right way, too. I got to hurry now. I said he learns of wondrous things. I won't say there's wondrous things found in his parchments. The Bible said in 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law.
Amen.
You ever thought about that? Open mine eyes. I know what time it is. Praise God, but I ain't done preaching yet. Amen. Open thou mine eyes.
Amen.
That I might see. You ever ask God to open your eyes? When you open that Bible and read it in the mornings, you say, Lord, open my eyes. Let me see.
Yes.
For what reason? That I may behold wondrous things from thy law. I'm telling you, David here is thanking him for the wondrous things that he's done. And those wondrous things are found in the Bible, God's Word. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about the NIV and the RSV or the SUV or the HIV. Praise God, I'm talking about the KJV. Amen. Say amen right there. Hallelujah. Son, there's wondrous things in that book.
Amen.
God will teach you some good things. I was reading in there in the office one morning years ago, reading about them sons of Jacob.
Yeah.
And when they got back down to, and the second time, when Joseph's servant went out and brought them back, and they was worried about being killed. And they began to tell this servant what had happened. Said, we're not spies now. And he said, just be at rest. He said, look here. He said, them boys said, we found their money and in our sacks with their corn. Said, we paid for the corn, but somebody give us some money back. And that servant said, just rest. Said, I put treasures in your sack. Now you'll get a hold of that after a while. He said, I put treasures. The Holy Ghost. Amen. Has put treasure. I read that right in there. And I lit up.
Right.
Realized that God had put some real treasures in my heart, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
For there are treasures in this earthen vessel. Woo! Woo! Hallelujah to God. He's put treasures in this earthen vessel.
Yes.
Old Charles Nicholson walked in. He said, my Lord, you look like you just got plugged into a 220 outlet. Said, boy, what's wrong with you? I said, Brother Charles, God has put treasures in my sack.
Yes.
He said, what are you talking about? I said, I got the Holy Ghost living in me. Hallelujah. What greater treasure can a man have than to have the Holy Ghost living in his heart? He also said, I'll hide thy word in my heart. I've got his word in my heart and the Holy Ghost in my heart. He's put some real treasures in my sack. He's put love, joy, and peace, and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. He's put all of that in my heart. Oh, yes, what a great God, wondrous things. And I'm finding them in the parchments.
Amen.
The reason some of you can't find them is because you're not in the parchments.
Amen.
I forget what was this week. I wish I could think of what it was. I was sitting there at the house. Miss Hall was gone. Now it's kind of having a blobber type day anyway. You don't ever get that way, do you? You don't ever have days where you get low and lonely and get to blubbers and feel like nobody cares. And what's the use? I know none of you ever get that way. I bet I do. I was kind of feeling that way. And I read one verse of the scripture. I forget where it was. That was in Psalms. I was reading in my little red Bible at the house and I was reading through Psalms. More than I'm going to tell you, when I read that one little verse, I began to get this number. You ever get that? And then tears began to run down my face. And I realized that the Lord had put some more treasures in my sack. And I thought, Lord, I'm far away from you. I was reading in, I believe I might have been reading this chapter. I said, Lord, I feel like David, far, far away from you. I feel like my heart is shattered in pieces. Can you, Lord, put my heart back together again? Can you bring the joy back that I once had? Can you bring the peace back that I once had? Can you bring the worship back that I used to have? And the Lord said, yes, son. I am more than able. For I'll tell you, He's able to do above and beyond, far above anything that you might ever ask or think of Him. He can do it, friend. And I sat there and bubbled over in that chair and liked to have myself a shouting time. There wasn't nobody there but me and God. I'm telling you, I found a treasure in my sack out of the parchments. You get in that book, you can find the same thing. I'm going to tell you something else. There are not only wondrous things in the parchments, but there's wondrous things in the present. In the present time that we're living in. If you'll notice down there in that verse, I don't have my glasses on. He said, what verse am I looking at here? Somebody help me. Well, there's a verb there. For thou art great and doest great things. Thou art good. Nope. Teach me thy ways, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Nope. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee. O Lord, I shall glorify thy name. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord.
Amen.
Nope. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mystery toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell.
Amen.
If you'll notice there where I just read, note the verb doest. Thou doest wondrous things.
Amen.
Is written in the present tense. May I say that God is doing wondrous things now.
Amen.
Took me a long time to get there. I can't even find my glasses. They're in my pocket. Lord, why didn't some of y'all tell me? I mean, we're not in the First Baptist Church, you know. But He said, thou doest.
Amen.
Thou doest wondrous things.
Amen.
Present tense verb.
That's right.
That tells me God's doing some wonderful things for us now. Have you recognized wonderful things that God is doing for
Amen.
You now, ladies and gentlemen?
Right. Amen.
I asked this young man what he was doing here this morning. He said, I just woke up at 10:30 and something said to come down here. I asked Brother Vaughn, I said, it's good to have you all over here. And he said, well, that I felt like this is where God wanted us to be.
Amen.
I'm telling you, if we'll let God, God will work in our life.
Amen.
And God will lead you to living fountains in this life. God will lead you to living water in this
Amen.
Life. God will lead you to wells of grace in this life. You better believe He will. God is wonderful, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
God is marvelous. Now I'm here to tell you that there is wonderful things to behold
Amen.
In the dirty now. Somebody said, oh, there ain't much going on in this world. We can't have much good things out of this world. I'm going to tell you something. Last winter, when these kids and some of the adults went up to that ice place in Owensboro, they was out there on that ice. They was just laughing and giggling and carrying on. I'm going to tell you something. I was standing inside where it was warm. And I'm telling you right now, I was having more fun than a barrel of monkeys. I was watching God do wondrous things now. And I thought how wonderful it is. They're all dressed right. They all look like Christians. They're acting, conducting themselves like Christians. There they are out there on that ice. Mommies and little boys and little girls. And they're all playing together in harmony. Wasn't nobody fighting one another. I said, Lord, isn't that wonderful? And God seemed to say, that's just me. That's just God, ladies and gentlemen. Doing wonderful things right now in our heart and life. Brother Herford come marching in down here. I thought, what in the world's he doing here? And he told me the story about his life. I'd met him before a long time. I didn't recognize him because he'd lost a lot of weight. But he just kept coming. And he just keeps coming. And it certainly couldn't be me. It has to be God. Brother Simpson lived in Nevada. Vegas, I believe, of all players. God brought him to Tennessee. Then God brought him to Kentucky. Then he turned on the radio one day and started listening to WSOF. Yeah. Then he strolled in the front door one morning. Who do you think brought that about? Do you just believe that things just accidentally happened? No, things don't just accidentally happen. I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven that is great and a God in heaven that is good, that is working in our life in a present tense form. Amen. To glorify Himself and to bless us in this life if we'll let Him. Hallelujah. Yeah. Better believe there is. Amen. Amen. I know it's got 1 o'clock, but we got started late. That's not anything unusual. And I'm going to say there's wondrous things in our person. I said this a while ago. He renews us day by day. Psalm 2 Corinthians 4:6 said, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day.
Amen.
You folks who have been here a long time know what that word renewed means. It means to completely refurbish.
Amen.
Now right back there is a skilled carpenter. Brother Simpson, how hard, Brother Simpson, would it be for you to go into, say, a 2,500-foot home and totally remodel that home every day? And I'm just not talking about fooling around. I'm talking about totally wiping everything out, putting everything new, throwing the old furniture out, bringing all new furniture in, and totally how long would you reckon it take you to do that? Yeah. 6-8 months. God said He does it in you every day.
Amen.
Every day. God renews. God overhauls you. Makes you new every day. Every
Amen.
Day. You know what that tells me? Now some of you's going to like it. Isn't sense that's going to go right over some of you's head. Brother Steve, that tells me that that new man that God has created in there is already in eternity.
Amen.
That new creature, the Bible said we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. It's already in eternity, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
So I said, how can God do that? I don't know. Ask Him.
Amen.
I'm not God. Ask God how He does it. But that new man, if it was not in eternity, it would grow old. But I'm telling you, it's in a place where time shall be no more.
Amen.
God's done that in that creation in there. And He renews it every day, buddy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's what's going to make eternity eternity when time stops. Going to a land where we'll never grow old.
Yeah.
Time will just stop. Boy, time is what ages man, but where there's no time, man can't age. That's why God's an eternal God. He doesn't ever get any older. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
He's as strong right now as He ever was. He's not weakened one by one whit in any manner.
No!
Let me ask you this. You still believe God has power to save?
Amen.
You still believe God has power to redeem sinners and revival? Bless His people. Come on now. Help me. Help me if I can get loose. If somebody help me a little bit.
Amen.
God's still able. A lot of Baptists don't want God to do anything.
That's right. Amen.
Now, listen carefully.
wondrous things in our person. He renews us day by day. He restores our soul. He said He restores, Psalm 23, He restores my soul when we are low and lonely. He rules in our heart. Colossians 3:15 said, let the peace of God rule in your heart. I'm just about done. Just stay with me now for a minute or two. Then when our heart is united to fear God, then we learn the Lord's way. We learn the Lord's way. He says down here in verse number 11, teach me thy way. Amen. Having taught us one way, He now gives us one heart to walk therein. God taught us one, and there's only one way.
Amen.
There is not a plurality of ways. Jesus said, I am the way. There's only one way.
Amen.
And God gives us one heart because there's only one way. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you're saved, you'll follow that way. You can call me whatever you want to call me. But if you're saved, you'll live like you're saved. God, I'm sick and tired of people being drunks and naked and everything else and telling me how saved they are. I wouldn't give you a flip for a used booger of that crowd, buddy. I ain't got nothing. But there's a little warning here. Proverbs 14:12 said, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Be careful what way you're in. You better make sure you're in that one way. Proverbs 13:15 said, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. There's another way. You better be careful of that way too. The way of transgressors is hard. But I'm going to tell you what. If we all was with me this morning, are y'all hot? Are y'all dead? Am I dry? Well, I'm doing my best here. He said, maybe I need to tell a joke. Maybe that'll happen. Yeah. Maybe we need to start telling jokes. But I won't say His way. He learns the Lord's way. He said, teach me thy way.
Amen.
Now, His way is a preserved way. Proverbs 2:8 said, He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of His saints.
Amen.
Can you? Oh, yes, sirree. What way are you walking in this morning? Are we Armenians or are we Baptists? He preserves the way that we're walking in. Bless His wonderful name.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you the reason I believe it is. I believe it's a blood-sprinkled way. You can believe what you want. You can just call me a dreamer. Call me what you want. But Jesus said, I am the way. And we're walking in His way. And I believe it's a blood-sprinkled way. I believe we're walking in that blood day by day. Hallelujah.
Yes.
When we went through the door that had the blood on the doorpost and the lintels of the house, I believe we begin to walk in that blood-sprinkled way. Son, we're preserved in that way. Let the devil roar. Let the world fight. Let Iran drop all the nukes they want to nuke with. I could give a flip less if they drop one and blow me into 20 billion little pieces. Somebody said, you're a nut. No, I'm not. Because God knows in His infinite wisdom where every little piece is at.
Amen.
I'm not a bit worried. No, sirree, ladies and gentlemen. I'm in a preserved way. Brother Nolan said one time, said we're immortal till God's done with us. And I scratched my head. I said, you know He's right.
That's right.
They can't nothing happen to you till God lets it happen.
Amen.
Our times are in His hands. There's nothing going to happen to you until God lets it happen.
Amen.
And you're not going to die till God's ready for you to die. Now, I believe people can shorten their life by being unruly toward their parents, one thing or another. But I'm talking about, this says, in His way, walking in His way. Not out of His way. In His way.
Amen.
So our way is preserved. Then our way is a way of strength. Proverbs 10:29 said, the way of the Lord is strength to the upright. Amen. Then His way is the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm closing right here, I think. Then David, when his heart is united, look what it said, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name.
Amen.
Let me walk, O Lord. I will, when you teach me your way, I will walk in thy truth. He said, when I'm taught what I'm taught, I'll practice. Are we practicing what we've been taught? He said, my walk will be regulated by the Master's will, not by my will.
Amen.
I'm thinking a whole lot of folks that are saved, but their heart is not united, and they want to walk in their way. I want to have it my way and not God's way. Oh, God, help us.
Amen.
David said, when you unite my heart to walk in thy way, he said, teach me to walk in thy way. And he said, I'll not walk according to my will, God, but I'll walk according to your will. And I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of Baptists that are saved, and I believe love God, but they'd rather do things their way.
Amen.
Than have it God's way. Buddy, I'm telling you, this Bible is real. Can I throw something out at you? People get offended at one another. And they're supposed to forgive their brother 70 times 7, and they can't even forgive him once.
That's right.
They can't even forgive him once!
That's right.
Not walking in God's way.
Amen.
Come on now. He said, I will lay aside all willfulness and only desire to be informed by thy gracious mind, or by thy gracious mind, by thy gracious mind and will, by the gracious mind and will of the Lord. Whatever His will is for my life. Can you say that today? I want to say this in verse 13. He said, for great is thy mercy toward us. Great is thy mercy toward us, O Lord my God. For great is thy mercy toward us, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Great is thy mercy toward me. David had a personal experience. Therefore, he could sing as a master sings the songs. You know, I'm going to tell you something. If we really got a personal relationship with the Lord, friend, I'm going to tell you, it'll make a great big difference in our life.
Amen.
If He's great, His mercy is great toward us, and we've had a personal experience with Christ, we oughtn't have any problem singing the hymns of the faith.
Amen.
That's right. I don't want none of these boogaloo songs.
Right.
Honky-tonk songs. Contemporary songs. Don't want to listen to none of that junk. Hip-hop, flip-flop.
Amen.
I used to listen to that. And I don't listen to it anymore. I used to listen to country music. But I got saved. Now I'm telling you, if you get saved, you'll chunk it out the door as well, friend. Don't tell me you're saved. Folks have been saved. Now, I know young Christians, but don't tell me you've been saved for 10, 12, 15 years and you're still listening to Garth and Dolly and the rest of that crowd. You won't do it. Something in your heart will say, this is not right.
Amen.
That's right. Now, he said, you delivered me from the lowest hell. He said, from his direst death and deepest dishonor, David had been kept by God.
Amen.
From his deepest disgrace and direst dishonor, he had been kept, preserved by God. I want to ask you something this morning. Your heart united? I could have preached a heart on sin now. I wanted to let you off the hook this morning. I don't believe anybody in here appreciated it. I could have preached on every sin imaginable being in your heart. But I'll let you off the hook and preach what the book says. To try to preach the Bible to you.
Amen.
And I wonder if you appreciate that. Is your heart united with God? You can see wondrous things in His life, in your life. You can worship Him, walk with Him, walk in His way. No greater thing than to walk with Jesus.
Yeah,
let's stand together.